Welcome to Torah Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser. Today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Yud, Chapter 10. This perek has two sections. In the first, Yirmiyahu speaks out against idol worship, in a parallel perek to Chapter 2, in which he tried to convince the people of the futility of idolatry and its practice. The second section focuses on the punishment, when Jerusalem is besieged and scurrying away from the advancing enemy. Idolatry is a philosophy and a practice that had gripped the world in the times of Yoshio. In order to show the people how completely ridiculous the practice of idolatry is, Yirmiyahu toggles back and forth between descriptions of idolatry and, on the other hand, a description of Hashem. He starts by saying in Pasukim, "Ki chukot ha'amim hevel hu, ki etz miya'ar krato maseh yedei charash b'ma'atzad." He speaks about how an idol is nothingness, it's futility, it's hevel. It's actually made of wood, cut down from the forest by a person with an axe. And then this same person, he says in verse 4, "Bekesef ubezahav yiyapehu, b'masmarot u'mamakavot yichazkum, v'lo yafik." This person adorns the wood, he chisels it out, he adorns it with silver and gold, he puts nails on it, he makes sure that it doesn't fall over. This description of idolatry is showing how the idol is made carefully by a person who is then going to worship it. And then he follows it up in verse 5 and says the idol's like a scarecrow in a cucumber patch, something that's stuffed with hay that a person puts up to scare the animals. They can't speak. A person has to do it for them. A person has to carry it. It can't walk by itself. He says to Bnei Israel, don't be afraid of idolatry. They can't do anything. They can't do good and they can't do bad. On the other hand, and now he's going to toggle again back and forth between idols and Hashem. On the other hand, Hashem is the essence of strength itself. Verse 6, he speaks about that Hashem doesn't need anyone to do anything for him. If it's the opposite, Hashem is the one who does for the other. As Yirmiyahu says, "Me'ein kamocha Hashem gadolata, v'gadol shemcha b'gvura." There's nobody like you, Hashem. How great you are, and how great your name is in strength. Then he goes back to the idols. "Ubachat yivaru v'chalu musar havalim etzu." In Pasuk 8, they are dull. They're foolish. There's nothing to their philosophy. They don't mean anything. They're just wood. Notice again the repetition of the word hevel. This was a very direct word that Yirmiyahu used over and over in Chapter 2 to define the nothingness of the idol. And what he said in Chapter 2 to Bnei Israel is, as they follow this hevel, the idolatry, that's nothingness, vayibalu, they themselves become nothing. And here he says again, musar havalim, their doctrines, their ideas are nothing. They don't stand for anything. They're just eitz, they're just wood. Then he goes back to Hashem, Pasuk 10, Hashem Elokim emet. Hashem, on the other hand, is truth. He has something to him. It's not meaningless doctrine. It's actually teaching you something. It's true. Hu Elokim Chayim u'melech olam. He's a living God. He's everlasting. He's the king of the world. Unlike the scarecrow in the cucumber field or the piece of wood that's going to rot, that's clearly bound by the natural world, Hashem is Elokim Chayim, the God of life. And then he says, Oseh eretz b'kocho, mechin tevel b'chachmato, in verse 12. Hashem is the one who made the land through his strength. He actually formed the world that you're in, the world that you then use the materials to make your idols and claim that the idols created the world. Hashem is mechin tevel b'chachmato. He's keeping the world alive through his wisdom. U'betfuna to natasha mayim, and with God's wisdom, he stretched out the skies, Natasha Mayim, referring back to Maaseh Bereishit, when Hashem made the heavens and the earth. And it's just this beautiful image of Hashem maintaining the world and stretching out the sky, shows how Hashem was intimately involved with the formation of the world, but hasn't left it either. This back and forth discussion between the idols and between Hashem highlights the complete worthlessness and even silliness of idol worship, an idea that was gripping the world at the time. As Yirmiyahu said in Perek Bet, Chapter 2, the Jews have something real, and they give it away in favor of something that cannot help them or give them any truth. Yirmiyahu ups the ante with his plea towards Bnei Israel in the last verse of this section, verse 16. Lo ke'ela chelak Yaakov, ki otzer hakolhu, v'Yisrael shevet nachlato, Hashem svakot shemo. Not like these is the portion of Yaakov, is the portion of Jacob, because he, Hashem, is the one who has formed everything. V'Yisrael shevet nachlato, Yisrael is Hashem's own portion. Hashem svakot shemo, Hashem svakot is his name. What Yirmiyahu is saying here is that not only is Hashem real, not only is he good, and not only is he actively sustaining the world, but he loves you, B'nai Yisrael. You are his chelek. You are his shevet. You are his portion, and he is your portion. You are the nation he chose. You're lucky to be born not only with truth, but a relationship with God. Don't throw it away. In the second section, Yirmiyahu starts in verse 17, which is going to be talking about something coming later, not focusing on idolatry, but focusing on the siege that's coming. Yirmiyahu describes the people running to their fortified cities as the armies of the north spill out towards the country of Judea to empty out those cities until the animals are able to roam free in the country. Yirmiyahu then follows up this description with two very interesting psukim. One is verse 23. Where Yirmiyahu says, Yadati Hashem, I know God, ki lo la'adam darko, that a man does not own his own path, v'lo ish holech v'hechin et sa'ado, and man, as he walks, does not direct his own steps. What is Yirmiyahu talking about here? Who is this man who doesn't own his path, who doesn't direct his own steps? Radak thinks that this is Nebuchadnezzar, standing at a crossroad, deciding whether to attack Ammon or Yehuda. In this case, says the Radak, Hashem directed him towards Yehuda as it was time for them to be captured. Abarbanel and Mitzudot think that this is referring to the people of Yehuda who realize that they don't know the path of Hashem, but they complain that this is just the way people are. They say, you know, Hashem, that you know nobody's really on the right path. Nobody's really doing the right thing. You can't be expected to always do the right thing. Why does Hashem have to be so hard on us? Perhaps a third way of reading this pasuk is that it's Yirmiyahu speaking about himself and his own role. He starts off the pasuk with the word yadati, I know. I know that a man does not really own his own path. This word yadati is a significant word to Yirmiyahu. It was the word of Yirmiyahu's chosenness, where Hashem said to him in the first parak, "B'terem etzorcha babeten yedaticha," before you were created in the womb, I knew you. The word yada in Tanakh has two connotations. One is to know, I know something, which is how we interpreted the verse in parak off the first time we read it. I knew you were an appropriate navi even before you were born. But the other interpretation is that yada means intimacy. Like Veida Adam et Chava Ishto, Adam knew his wife Chava. He was intimate with his wife. In this pasuk, Yirmiyahu is saying, Yadati Hashem. Hashem, I have a relationship with you. We have been intimate together. We are close together. And therefore, I accept Ki lo la'adam darko. A person does not own his path in life. Ki lo li'ish a person cannot plant and prepare his own footsteps. Yirmiyahu is accepting that his path has been set out for him from before he was born. He had to be a Navi. He needs to do this job. It's part of what Hashem wants of him. And Yirmiyahu here is accepting this because of his relationship with Hashem. It's not an easy path, but it's one he must do nonetheless. Rabbeinu Bachya quotes this pasuk in his commentary on Bamidbar 16, when Moshe and Aaron fall on their faces to pray for Bnei Israel in the story of Korach. Rabbeinu Bachya quotes this pasuk to explain that there are three levels of prayer, and the last is falling on one's face. Rabbeinu Bachya explains that that means giving up one's control into the hands of God. As it says in Tehillim, Shlach al Hashem Yahavcha, Uhu Yechal Kalecha, throw your burdens on God, and he will support you. Yirmiyahu here is throwing his burden on God, giving up control over a people that he cannot seem to reach, giving up control over a job that he never wanted, over the abilities that he has and the ones that he feels he does not. The second interesting pasuk comes two pasukim later and is familiar to us from its prominent place in the Pesach Seder, and that is verse 25. Yirmiyahu says, Shvo chamascha al hagoyim asher lo yedzeucha, pour your anger out on the nations who don't know you. Val mishpachot asher b'shimcha lo kara'u, and on the families that don't call out in your name. Ki achlu et Yaakov va'achaluhu va'ikaluhu, because they have devoured Yaakov. They've devoured him and they've consumed him. Ve'et navehu hishamu, and they lay desolate his homesteads. Following the line of thought that we've developed in the pasuk before, this pasuk would be Yirmiyahu praying on behalf of an undeserving people, accepting his path, and then saying back to Hashem, listen, I know that these people aren't the greatest. I know that they're hypocritical. But Hashem, take your anger that you have and direct it at the people who don't even recognize your name at all. Direct it on those people that are creating the idolatry and don't also recognize you, that don't also call out to you. B'nai Israel, at least externally, believe in God. At least they follow some mitzvot. In this pasuk, Yirmiyahu uses the idea of the hypocrisy of the nation in order to focus on what they do have and not what they're lacking. At least they call out in Hashem's name. At least they recognize him as a God. And with this, Yirmiyahu grows as a prophet. For as he accepts his job, he can also look for the good in B'nai Israel and ask Hashem, forgive them not because they deserve it, but forgive them because they are your nachala. As he told B'nai Israel early, you are the portion of Hashem. Here he turns to Hashem and he says to Hashem, they are your nachala also. Ki achlu et Yaakov, he calls them Yaakov, Jacob, as he did before to tell B'nai Israel that the portion of Jacob is God. Here he tells God, your portion is them. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.